You're either in one or two categories. Hello? Listen? One or two categories. Okay? Leon, where's my stool? Oh, me. Y'all, I don't know about you all, but I've been having fun. I want you to know that God is just real and real and real and even more real in my life every day. There are just some very awesome things that He is doing in my life and in my heart. And it's just amazing. If you'll just pray that prayer every morning, Lord, here's my life. It's all I have. I give it to you. Take it and use it today in whatever way possible to bring the highest and the greatest glory and praise to you. I still have my tube. Not worried about it. Still got my patch. Not worried about it. I've lost 29 pounds. I've got Miss Roma walking a mile with me. Yeah, and we're having fun together. We're enjoying life together. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe? Do you believe? You see, today you're living by one or two choices. One or two. You're either living by reason. And so you reason out everything. Luke chapter 20 and verse 5 says, they reasoned among themselves when Jesus asked them a question. Are you living by revelation? You see, when Satan came to Eve in the garden, he appealed to her intellect. And when he appealed to her intellect, he cast the seed of doubt. First slide. And she immediately became uncertain about what God had said. And she began to reason in her mind, this may not be exactly true. I do not know whether what he has said to me now can be trusted. So she lost confidence in God. Satan has used reason from the beginning of time, even to now, and he will use it until Jesus comes. Because reason appeals to your intellect. And most individuals like to be intellectually stimulated. They like to learn something new. They like to discover something new. And so as long as he can appeal to your reason and you reason the scriptures away, you reason the truth of God's word away from your life. Therefore, you take down the hedge of protection that the word of God builds around you personally, your spouse, your children, your family as a whole and in general. Because you reason these things not to be true. It's not for this day. It's not for this time. Some of you today will reason this message. Some of you today will be like the wayside soil. Because you have reasoned so long away the truth of the Word of God and its application to your life and to whatever you're facing, to whatever situation, to whatever circumstance you're dealing with in your life, because you have reasoned the truth out of your heart and out of your life, you will be like wayside soil. Hard. Trampled down. And the fowls will come and immediately steal the word of truth out of your heart And the fowls are a picture of Satan and his demons. They're all liars. Didn't you know that? But some of you may be like the stony soil, the rocky soil. It'll spring up for a short while and you'll grasp some of the reality of the truth of it, and it'll begin to permeate into your life some, but then it'll wither and die because of the heat of the day. The heat of the pressure of life. The heat of those who are around you every day that are casting all type of negativity into your heart and into your mind and into your thought pattern. But then some of you will also be like the thorny soil. The seed, which is the Word of God, because you see, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you sow doubt, hello? Who said that? Yes, that's what you're going to get. If you sow reason, you're going to get reason. And nothing against higher education, but you can appeal to the height of higher education. And what's missing today in a lot of circles of Christianity is the absolute power of God, because they have reasoned it away. Messages can be intellectually stimulating, but never transformational and incarnational in life. So the thorns will choke up the life out of that seed. The thorns of reason, the thorns of intellectual superiority, the thorns of thus saith so-and-so. You see, church, we're not called to reason the Word of God. In fact, there's only one place in the Bible that God tells us to reason. It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. You know what it is? Come now, let us reason together. Thus saith the Lord. It is in regard to my and your relationship with God. It is the only time that we are told to reason in Scripture. But then some of you today, you're going to be like that good soil. 12% of you are going to leave here today producing 30-fold. 8% of you are going to leave here today producing 60-fold. 5% of you are going to leave here today producing 100-fold. Now, if you don't believe what I told you, remember what I said to you last Sunday? Now, you know I don't preach on tithing, but tithing is 10%. Not 10% of your net, because God gave you breath to earn the gross. Amen? 10% of the gross. And you really haven't given an offering until you give beyond what is required, what is expected, what God promised you if you would do, He would honor and open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you could not receive. It would be so great until it would be running over, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. So do you believe or do you doubt? You see, when you leave here today, you're going to reason Pastor Johnny's message, God's message through Pastor Johnny. Now listen, I love you to pieces. And I'm just 4 weeks ahead of you, okay? All right, are you listening? I haven't been where I am, okay? So I don't expect you to be where I am in your thinking right now, okay? Is that fair? Is that an even playing field? Huh? Come on. Is that fair with you? But I do expect you to move from where you are. You see, I pray that the Word of God this morning will begin to move you. Next slide, please, quickly. Just reviewing a little bit from last Sunday, then we'll get to the message for today. Okay? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Next slide. And last Sunday, I asked you to write that down. And if you weren't here last Sunday, you can take a few minutes right now and write it down. I don't mind. Some of you text one another during my message anyway, so I mean, you know, what's the difference? Not a bad thing as long as you text them the truth, amen? I don't mind. You can text whoever you want to while I'm preaching, as long as the gospel's going out, amen? But this is your faith. This is it. It's God's word to you and God's word to me. It is His instructions to us. It is information that we have received from God in advance that enables us to know what God is going to do in a future situation. That's why, according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, I know a lot of what I'm preaching to you all last Sunday today is foreign in most Baptist churches. But I am Baptist. But I just happen to believe the whole counsel of God. I just happen to believe the whole Word of God, church. I just happen to believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means all of it, not the New Testament. Are not the parts that we select or choose to believe, but all of it. And so, therefore, we take action on whatever we face in our lives based upon the revealed word, and He fulfills His promises to us. I'm living proof. Dr. Tom Edwards and I had conversation this morning before Sunday school and Sunday school class. And we talked about the one in a million. Now, listen to me. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. What are you going to do with it? You going to deny it? You going to reason it away? You going to say it doesn't work? You remember the verse we started with last Sunday? Take your Bibles and turn with me. 1 Corinthians, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Declaring. Remember that word? Now let's read further today. For I determined. I determine. In other words, Paul said, I set my mind. I determined. I made a decision. I set my mind. I set my heart. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom. Let's look up here just a minute. Let me stop right there. Paul had been through the school of reason. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was the most intellectually stimulating man of his day and his time. He could speak on any subject at any time and speak on it in depth. He had been to all of the schools of higher learning that were available in his day and in his time. And God had to take reason away from Paul and bring revelation of His word into his heart. And he wrote 13 books, half of the New Testament. And maybe the book of Hebrews, 14. I determined my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit of power. absent in the lives today in Christian circles and Christian community is the spirit of power and revelation. We have great men who are stimulating the minds of people, but it is powerless. They came to Jesus and they looked at him and they examined him and they said among themselves, they reasoned among themselves, why, where does he get this power from? Where does he get this authority from? Why, he hasn't been to any of the rabbinical schools. When he was 12 years of age, he was confounding the scholars of that day. Why? Because he determined in his heart, I will not say anything but what he tells me to say. I will not do anything but what he tells me to do. And then you move to the book of Acts. And you find that the early disciples had the same testimony. The scripture says that they marveled. That they were unlearned and ignorant. No, not that they were stupid. No, not that they did not know anything. They had spent 3.5 years with the rabbi of rabbis. And he had instructed them, what you hear me say, you say. What you see me do, you do. And church, that's New Testament theology. Could I get a word of confirmation on that? Listen, that's New Testament theology. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Next slide. And so that brings us to believe. To accept or regard something as true, to accept the truth of what is said by someone, to have a specific opinion. Look at verse 5 of the text I just read from there. Why is this important? Friday morning, we took the twins and we headed to the doctor. And, you know, it's a learning experience for Papa and Nanny. And, you know, we pull in, we park, and I'm getting the stroller out and I'm trying to figure out how to work it, you know, these newfangled strollers, you know, and all these switches and latches and so forth. And I finally get it up and I snap on the tray and I put one of them in first, and I turned to put the other one in, and the woman says, no, Johnny, he goes this way. And I said, no, he goes this way. No, she goes this way. And so finally, clunk, you know, we get them all, both of them locked in the stroller. Here I go, boy. Going in to see my doctor. Boy, I wanted this tube to come out. But you see, I knew Thursday night when I measured it, in 24 hours, it was 10 milliliters then, I knew it wasn't coming out. You remember I told you all in the beginning, God had this? You see, it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing that really happens to us is about us. It's about the manifestation of his power and glory through us. And so we roll in, we sit and wait a little while, and directly the nurse comes and calls us back, and I scoot him in by the side of the exam table there, and Roma sits down in the chair, and I crawl up on the exam table, and here comes the nurse. For 35 solid minutes, I sit there and minister to a nurse. I pulled off my blazer, my blue blazer that I had on, and when I pulled it off, I had on a white staff shirt that you all may have seen some of us wearing that has Dutch Fork's emblem up here, and on the sleeve it has God Focused, Christ Centered, Holy Spirit Led. And when I pulled my jacket off, she immediately sees that. And she said, "Are you a pastor or something?" Wow! Woo! We know where this is going, don't we? Yes, Lord. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that does what? Believes. Now, if you believe for your salvation, why don't you believe for the rest? Ooh. Come on. Take your medicine this morning. I've been taking mine, okay? Swallow it slow and easy, okay? Let it go down. She shares with me that she's 26 years old. She's married. Her husband's been incarcerated for 3 years, will probably be incarcerated for 3 more years. And the power of God fell in that room. And she would not turn loose of me at the end. I haven't even seen the doctor yet. I could really care less about seeing the doctor because I know my tube's not coming out, and that's the only reason I'm there. Hello? That's the only reason I'm there, right? Are you with me? You see, it's not about us. There's a world out there, listen to me, there's a world out there waiting for a church to rise up and say, "We just believe our God and His promises to us." This week I received numerous texts. Some of you, I thought you would have texted me and emailed me, and you didn't. Others of you that I would have never dreamed I would have gotten a text or an email from, blew my hat in the creek. Some even took time to sit down and write me letters and tell me what last Sunday's sermon meant to them. Church, people want the truth, and they want to see something that's real. And they're waiting on me and you to be real. They are wanting you and I to be germane. They have seen religion. Because the highest that reason can produce is religion. Reason always produces religion. Look at the scribes. Look at the Pharisees. The scribes knew where Jesus was going to be born. Even knew the place and told Herod so. But didn't even believe enough to go down there and see. Hello? Now, I don't want to point the finger at anybody, but folks, we say we believe. But we don't believe until we start declaring, what time is it? Seriously, what time is it? 11:11? 11:11? 11:10? I couldn't believe that. Leon, you must have gave me a ton of time today. Bless your heart, bro. You notice I'm in a teaching mode today. You notice that? I'm in more in a teaching mode today. Because I want you to grasp this. I want you to get this. I want you to understand that what I'm trying to tell you this morning, it's real. You see, listen to me. He gives you the faith to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That grace and that faith. He gives you that grace and that faith to be saved. And then he says, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. But let me tell you what we've done. Well, we've got preachers that stand in the pulpit, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you. We've got preachers. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got people in general that say, well, the Old Testament's the Old Testament. That doesn't apply today. And this is a sermon down the road, okay? 2 weeks from today. But I have to introduce it because it's part of today. Ephesians chapter 4. The five manifestations of gifts given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now let's read the rest of it. Do you know what the rest of it says? Well, if you don't, turn there real quick. For the manifestation of the Spirit of God, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the working together of the unity of the faith, until we all come together in the unity of the faith. Church, listen, that will be fulfilled in the day that Jesus returns. We have not reached the unity of the faith. The manifestation of the power of God. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor Johnny. You sure about? Yes, I am. How about turn to Ephesians chapter 1 with me, okay? I read this to the staff Thursday in staff meeting. And let's look at it for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus was the highest treatise of the church in its entire manifestation, including the family, including the marriage, and how that the husband and the wife are a picture of Christ and his church. But notice in chapter 1, his prayer for the church. Look at his prayer for me. Let's begin verse 15. We'll just read along. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Reason? You see, God wants to reveal His Word to you. God wants you to have the revelation of His Word in your heart such that it becomes transformational in your thinking. It changes your thinking. It changes your processing. It helps you to begin to understand the deeper hidden mysteries and the truth of the Word of God and the secrets of the Word of God that were sealed until the time of the end, Daniel was told. Well, guess who the spirit of prophecy is? Notice I said who? You want to guess? It starts with a J. Second letter's an E. Third letter's an S. Fourth letter's a U. And the last letter's an S. He is the spirit of prophecy and revelation. What is Paul praying here? That you may receive the spirit of wisdom in your heart. Well, guess what the book of Proverbs says about wisdom? Guess what the book of Psalms says about wisdom? It says that God is wisdom. Do you know where you're seated this morning if you're saved? In heavenly places, amen. And guess what kind of mind you're supposed to have? The mind of Christ. Then guess what's supposed to happen in your life? Oh, I get excited here. I know I'm in a Baptist church, but I want to jump. I want to shout. I have the mind of Christ. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Then everything, whoo. Everything that's revealed to Him is intended to be revealed to me because I'm a joint heir with the Son in the kingdom. Y'all ready for this? I'm taking some of you where you've never been. Some of you may not want to go, but that's okay. I love you still. And I do. And so he prays. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, our knowledge is, listen to me, our knowledge is not to be limited this morning. We have the mind of Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Therefore, listen, therefore, if we have the mind of Christ, we speak as he spoke. We do as he did. That makes some folks uncomfortable. You know why? Because they sit and they reason. Well, I don't know what they might think of me. I don't mean this to you all sarcastically this morning, but listen, I'm beyond the point about worrying about what somebody thinks about me. That's why I dress like I dress. Seriously. Seriously. And in fact, I do a little shock and awe anyway. Seriously. We have to get beyond the point of what somebody thinks about us. You see, it's not what you think about your pastor, it's what he thinks. But the same thing with you too. So if I have been given the mind of Christ, I have been given the wisdom of God, then why would I not believe his word? Next slide, quickly. Well, how does it start? I'm just getting to the sermon. Don't worry, I'll finish. Jesus said, you have to become as a child. Your thinking has to be modified. And seniors, I said this last Sunday, and I love us to pieces, okay? And I'm glad to be one, okay? Woo-wee! I'm glad to be one, okay? I'm glad I can say I'm a senior, amen? Okay? I know some that hadn't been able to, won't be able to, okay? But listen to me. The longer we live, if we are not careful, reason will become the dominant spirit in our heart. Well, God didn't do this, and God didn't do that, and God didn't do that, and God didn't do that. And we begin to look back, just like the children of Israel did. And they reasoned to go back to Egypt. And Egypt was nothing but death. And any time you reason to go back, it brings death and separation. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. The average Baptist preacher and Sunday school teacher in the average Baptist church will limit that to salvation and salvation alone. And they'll stop there. We have spiritualized the teachings of Jesus so much and limited them as wonderful and as great and as awesome. And yes, evangelism is important. But we must become teachable, pliable, bendable, breakable in our heart and our spirit. They don't have tradition. They don't have a tradition mindset. And unfortunately, most of us, if we are not careful, we develop a traditional mindset, and this is the way it's got to be. And if God doesn't work that way, then it can't be of him, and on it goes. And we reason the power of God out of our lives, our homes, our families, our marriages. You know I'm telling you the truth. Next slide, please. Satan is an imitator. That's the best he is. That's the best he can do, is imitate. And so he does everything he can to imitate everything that God has done. Even to God's power, God's presence, and God's peace. Everything he offers you is an imitation. It's fake. And it's bathed in a lie, which is truth to the person that believes it. It becomes truth because they believe it, and they believe it, and they believe it, and it becomes truth. And it takes something jarring to break their mindset so that God can move them out of that mindset and their hearts can become pliable again and be taught the deeper mysteries and the hidden truths of the Word of God so that they can grow in His grace and His knowledge and in His wisdom. And so the enemy comes. The enemy comes while men are sleeping. And he sows tears. If you never sow, don't expect to reap. I grew up on a farm. My daddy worked the socks off of me, literally. You can ask Miss Roma. He was a hardworking man. And all he gave me was a work ethic. Couldn't send me off to school. And Uncle Sam was about to get me for the Army, and I said, I don't want to crawl on my tummy. I'd rather fly in the air, and so I joined the Air Force. I'd rather them shoot at me up there than down here. I was chicken. To all you guys that served in the Army and Marines and crawled on your tummies, God bless you. To all you guys that sunk down in a hole in the bottom of the ocean down there for weeks and months in a submarine, God bless you. I wanted to fly. One day I am going to fly out of here. Hallelujah. But listen to me. Every time you hear the word of God, the enemy is going to come and try to sow tares in the wheat in your life. He's going to cast doubt and question marks in your life about the word of God. And he's going to use well-meaning people to tell you, well, that's not for this day and time. That gift passed away. That gift is no longer functional. I can take you to places in the world tonight where every gift that is mentioned in the scriptures is manifested in its proper way. Talk to some of our Southern Baptist missionaries that have been on the mission field and have witnessed it and seen it happen. You see, we haven't arrived. Hello? We're in the process of being worked and molded. We are the clay. He's the potter. We're in the process of becoming. And so he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that we might live in the fullness of his grace, his majesty, and his power. Last slide. Sowing, reaping. It starts all the way in the beginning. Most of you have heard these kind of sermons. I've preached them. Out of Galatians. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we've talked about every ungodly sin imaginable. And we've had the good people sitting in the pew, jumping up and shouting and clapping their hands and shoveling it over, because that's for some that fellow over there. I don't drink, cuss, smoke, chew. I don't commit adultery. I don't hang around with those who do. So that doesn't apply to me. We've limited the scripture. Are you getting my point? I'm sowing today. I'm sowing into your hearts and into your lives. And I'm sowing because I expect a harvest. I want to see a harvest. No one, not even the enemy, sows without expecting to see a harvest. Hello? So I'm sowing, 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 sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word. Why? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I can't change a person. I'd love to. I don't want anybody to die and go out into eternity, into hell without Christ. And I believe in a literal hell. Jesus said it was literal, so I believe it. Okay, hello? But I also believe everything else he said too. The first part of Deuteronomy chapter 28. By the way, Jesus always spoke about the law. The law is the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's also called the Torah or the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy is the last book. It was given to the Jews because, look up here, don't miss what I'm about to say. It is a Bible within itself. It covers everything from the beginning to judgment. And in chapter 28, the first 13 verses, God promises a blessing to his people. Blessing, 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 blessing. The rest of the chapter, but if. Cursed, 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 cursed. Hosea reminds us that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of him, his word. This is your faith. You want God to begin to bless your life? Begin to pour his blessings out in your life? You want God to begin to answer your prayers? Roman and I were talking about this last night and again this morning. I don't have the answer for you. I don't have the answer. Listen, there have been prayers of mine that I prayed that God didn't answer. Okay, are you listening? But that is not going to stop me from believing his word and declaring his word. Because that's what I'm called to do. And listen, church, if I never declare it, listen, can I even expect him to demonstrate it? So I have decided I'm going to be determined in my heart to declare his word at every opportunity I have and expect him to demonstrate it. So when he has made a promise to me, I'm going to believe that promise. And when Roman and I looked at one another and we didn't know what to say and your pastor was lost for words, and that doesn't happen very often, I told somebody this morning it was like somebody stuck a knife in my heart. And for a minute, I think my heart literally stopped. And I looked back at her and she looked back at me. We didn't start reasoning, church. We didn't start wringing our hands and saying, what are we going to do? You see, reason, listen to me, reason always leaves the results up to you. You see, reason puts the outcome in your hands. And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen. Because he knows he's got you right where he wants you. So, we looked at one another. And we said, we will not accept this. We will not believe this. And we didn't. And you know the story. So, here's where I'm at as your pastor. I believe that every Sunday morning when we finish this service, somehow, some way, there are people sitting out here today and in the balcony that have real needs. Children, youth, adults, senior adults. And so somehow Pastor Johnny's going to start shortening his message. You got to pray for me, okay? If I have to make it 4 and 5 parts, just to, rather than trying to do it all in one part, you know, because I realize you can only chew so much at a time, okay? I understand that. And I understand that he hasn't revealed to you what he's revealing to me, okay? I understand that. So I'm wanting to be very patient, but I'm wanting to listen to the Holy Spirit. But I really believe we need to begin praying for people. I believe it's a shame for us to come together on Sunday morning and gather together. And as wonderful as Leon and our praise team and our choir does in leading us in worship, and I just look forward to it every Sunday because it just paves the way for me to step up here. I'm excited when I get here. You know that. But I'm excited when I worship. I'm excited to get in this pulpit because I am expecting God to do something, but we don't give him the opportunity to do something. So I don't know how he's going to work all this out, and I'm just talking to you out of my heart, okay? But I think somehow we need to start praying over the real needs in people's lives. So our invitation this morning, God's invitation to you is, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's God's primary promise. And yes, Jesus said that it was better that you enter into life mean than to go out into damnation whole. But hear your pastor's heart here today. People are struggling. Believers are struggling. You're dealing with a very real enemy who does not have your best interests at heart. And we, as a church family, need to begin to come together and really pray for one another. So the invitation this morning is, if there's a need in your life, you come down here. If you need to leave, that's okay. Go ahead. I don't mind. You're not going to upset me. But don't you leave this building today. If you're struggling with something and you want Leon, you want your pastor, you want Steve Jackson, you want Michael French or somebody to, or Chris Harvey or somebody to pray with you, we'll grab you and we'll pray with you. And we'll pray over you. And we'll pray about what you're facing and what you're dealing with. If you're looking for a church home and a church family, let me tell you something. God's doing some real things here. I invite you to come be a part of this church family. Let's stand.